This is the Tantalk Radio Network.
This is Patsy with a Z. Welcome to Joy on Paper, a program for writers and those who dream of writing. My name is Patsy Gill, coming to you from WTAN 1340, Tampa Bay's Tantalk Radio in beautiful Clearwater, Florida. Well, it's raining outside, but even when it's raining, Clearwater is the most beautiful place to live or to vacation. At the bottom of the hour, I have a very special guest today, Congressman David Jolly, of the U.S. 13th Congressional District. He is going to talk to us about books that have influenced his life. But meanwhile, let's talk about love.
My funny Valentine, sweet comic Valentine, you make me smile my heart. Your looks are laughable.
Hi, Ed. I have Big Ed in the control room there. How are you doing, Ed?
I'm trying to keep dry in here.
Okay. Listen, Ed. Now, you have a beautiful wife, a gorgeous wife. What's her name?
Donna.
Oh, she's lovely. And now, do you write her poetry? No.
Anything rhymes with stop at the store? Yes.
You don't write her little love notes every morning?
No, I used to once in a while.
Okay, well, we're going to hear today from a woman who's going to read a poem that her husband wrote. Now, they are the sweetest little couple you ever saw, and it is hard to believe that over 50 years, Abney Eisenberg wrote a poem or a note to his wife every day. And so when at one point a few years ago, he decided he's going to put them together, take the best ones, and put it together in a book that he calls My Mariana. And it is a lovely, lovely book of poetry, and he wrote it so that he could immortalize her and to honor her. And I'm very thrilled that she came into the studio and read one of the poems that he wrote to her. And if anyone is interested in poetry, they should read this, or just interested in love. Ed, did you know that there's a countdown for Valentine's Day?
Yeah, I heard about that somewhere.
Okay, it's 165 days, 12 hours, 50 minutes, and 47 seconds from now. So you still have time to get in there and start writing poetry and put it together. You know, it's so wonderful nowadays. You can self-publish, so you can really put together a maybe not a very large book, but a lovely book of your sentiments, and whether it's poetry or letters that you've written, with a collection of photographs. And it's so easy nowadays to self-publish these things. And so I think that everyone should consider it. Now, Abney Eisenberg is himself a writer. He's written 10 books at least, and I think all of them have been dedicated to his wife. But this particular book, My Mariana, which is available at Amazon, is a lovely book to read and to get for as a gift for Valentine's Day. So keep that in mind. And meanwhile, I want to play Mariana's reading of one of her husband's poems. Hi, I have Abney Eisenberg in the studio with me. He wrote an interesting book just for his wife. Abney, can you tell us about it?
Yes. For 40 years, I used to leave a love note on the refrigerator for my wife to wake up and read. I also wrote many poems for her. Then after 40 years, when we moved down to Florida, I decided to immortalize my Mariana and take all the poems and all the love notes and put them in a book. And the book is titled My Marianna.
And your wife was an opera singer?
At Lincoln Center in Manhattan. She was a lovely star on stage, and she still continues to thrill me when she sings.
And Marianna, I will let you pronounce your name. Can you say your name? It's so beautiful.
Marianna Ciraulo.
Oh, it's so beautiful. And I understand you're going to read one of the poems that Abney wrote for you. And what's the title of it?
The title is Cornucopia, which he gave to me as I was boarding the plane to go to Italy to study. So.
Okay. Go ahead and please read it for us.
Thank you. Cornucopia. She was begun in a time-free vial designed to grow and bloom. With planetary gifts adorned, her sophistry did loom. One day I found beneath my hand a trembling garnet, still burgeoning, filled with majesty, attending my wordless will. With Herculean strength and efficient hand, I drew this treasure near. A long caress I did apply, cautioning her not to fear. As I came to know my quarry's mind, its facets mild and bold, a plethora of uncharted seas, my cornucopia did unfold. To follow would be madness, to stay a hollow shell, resigned to accept an offering, be it heaven, earth, or hell. I hesitatingly walk with heart in hand to a place I've never been. Beside me walks cornucopia, metronome of a world within.
Oh, that's beautiful. Ebony, that's beautiful. And I can see you wrote it for your forever Valentine.
And hopefully, after we're both gone, people will look for the book, read Cornucopia, and say, she is indeed immortal.
It's a beautiful poem, and the book is lovely, and it's available on Amazon. It's called My Marianna by Abney Eisenberg. Oh, it was lovely to hear her read that poem. And I want to, now we're going to take a short break, and when I come back, I want to talk to you about a festival coming up in Tampa. And at the bottom of the hour, we'll have Congressman Jolly.
This is the Tantalk Radio Network.
Hi, I'm John Rakowski with Charles Ruttenberg Realty. Don't you love living here in the Tampa Bay area? Oh, I'm sorry, you don't live here yet? Well, if you already are or thinking about it, call me at my office at 727-538-9200 extension 2 for any real estate needs, including a free market analysis of your home. Your home is worth more than you can imagine. Call me today at 727-538-9200 extension 2. I'm John Rakowski.
Are you looking for the perfect gift? Going to a wedding? A special birthday? The Silver Queen is the place to go. Don't settle for the ordinary. At the Silver Queen, you will find a unique gift. Things that you won't find at the mall. From beautiful photo frames to silver and china. Guys, looking for that perfect ring? You'll find it at the Silver Queen. And don't forget their bridal registry. Located at 1350 West Bay Drive in Largo. Visit their website, silverqueen.com. They have some wonderful coupons. And when you go to the store, tell them that Patsy with a Z sent you.
Show me the money.
It's the Employment Opportunity Hour with Gene Hodge, every Thursday night from 7 until 8.
So the purpose of the show is to help you out there to find something that you enjoy doing instead of a job. And at the start of the show, I normally give out a formula, which I know will guarantee you to find the type of job that you want right now.
Find out the formula to an enjoyable job with Gene Hodge's Employment Opportunity Hour every Thursday night from 7 until 8 here on the Tantalk Radio Network.
Show me the money.
At the Oaks of Clearwater, you'll enjoy a lifestyle to fit your needs. From independent living, assisted living, memory care, and skilled nursing. Our exciting independent lifestyle is the perfect combination of freedom, comfort, and security. Enjoy total independence with peace of mind. Our independent lifestyle includes chef-prepared meals in our beautiful waterfront dining room. A continental breakfast. All utilities, including cable and telephone. Housekeeping with linen service. service, scheduled transportation, including trips for shopping, local restaurants, theater, and more. Our activities program is second to none. At the Oaks of Clearwater, you'll enjoy affordable luxury waterfront senior living with a $1 million view. Call today, 727-445-4069, and discover where caring, compassionate service really makes the difference.
This is the Tantalk Radio Network.
Hi, this is Patsy with a Z, and I'm back to talk about the upcoming Tampa Times Book Festival, which is going to be in October. Now, whether it makes you us laugh or cry, escape from your own life, or feel smarter about the world we live in, a good book often makes us wish we could meet the person who wrote it. At the Tampa Bay Festival of Reading in October, you will have that opportunity. Last year, they had over 40 authors, and I believe there's going to be even more this year. You'll have the opportunity to talk to authors, to get to meet them, to hear about how they started in the business, whether you're a writer and you're interested in becoming a writer and you haven't started yet, you can learn from them. If you are a writer, go to the Tampa Bay Times webpage and fill out an application. You will be able to go and attend this festival, take a booth, take a table, and meet all of the people who come out. One of the wonderful things about this festival is that it really promotes reading, and there are lots of exciting events. So you can meet not just the authors, get free samples of books. So do plan to attend that this year, and I'm sure that it's going to be on October 24th. Saturday, October 24th, and it's something that you don't want to miss if you're in the Tampa Bay area. Now, over the past several months, I've had quite a few interesting conversations with writers, and last week I was very, very proud to interview our new poet laureate, Juan Herrera, who will take up his position in a few days as the Poet Laureate for the United States. Now, he's the first Chicano who has been nominated for this position, and it's a wonderful opportunity for him to reach out. He's a very active type of poet. He likes to meet people. Now, there are some poets who like to live in their ivory tower, and over the years, we've had different types of poet laureates, but he is very active, and he is a man who wants to encourage people, as I do, to get out there and write. And so often, poetry is like putting your toe in the water. Put your foot in and test out the water. See what you can do. It's funny, when you put words down on paper, you're not always sure what's going to happen. And as in the case of my earlier guest, Abney Eisenberg, he was a teacher, a professor for many years, and he just started writing these notes, and over the years they developed into poetry, and it's so exciting. You can even see the development in the book. You see the development of how his poems are so good now. And what you want to do is, you can start with the roses are red type of poetry. You don't know what you can do until you try it. So I would like to encourage people, as Juan Herrera is going to be encouraging people. And I think that unlike poet laureates in the past who have not been very out there and active, Juan Herrera is going to be on television programs and hosting events around the country where he invites people to bring their poems and to bring them all together and to put out anthologies of poetry. So watch for Anytime you hear on the news that he's going to be on, do listen to him and try to attend the events. I will publish as soon as they produce from the Library of Congress and a list of his events. I will put it on my webpage so that you can attend. I know there's going to be at least one here in Tampa and in Miami and other places in Florida, so that people can get out there and meet him and take part in various events. I am also excited that in October I have a guest coming back, Carol Perry. Now, she writes these wonderful mysteries called Witch City Mysteries, which are available on Amazon, and she was on several months ago, and her latest Witch City Mystery is going to be coming out on Halloween, and so she's going to come to the studio and to talk about how she has really turned one book. She started with one book and just carried on. She developed an interesting character, and this is what all writers have to think about when you're starting a book. Is it going to be something that you can carry on into a series? And so Carol was very clever. She came out with a wonderful, wonderful premise for a series of mysteries set in Salem, which happens to be her hometown where she was born. So it sort of fit right in. Although she's here in Clearwater or in the Clearwater area, she's keeps her heart in Salem. And so it's real exciting to read her books, which really make Salem come alive. And I'm very excited that she's going to be coming back to visit us to tell us about her third book. And also the exciting news that she has now received a contract to do three more books. So that's Carol Perry coming in October. And I hope that you will all listen in for that. Now, I'm going to take another short break because I'm expecting Congressman Jolly, and then we'll be right back.
This is the Tantalk Radio Network.
Are you looking for the perfect gift? Going to a wedding? A special birthday? The Silver Queen is the place to go. Don't settle for the ordinary. At the Silver Queen, you will find a unique gift. Things that you won't find at the mall. From beautiful photo frames to silver and china. Guys, looking for that perfect ring? You'll find it at the Silver Queen. And don't forget their bridal registry. Located at 1350 West Bay Drive in Largo. Visit their website, silverqueen.com. They have some wonderful coupons. And when you go to the store, tell them that Patsy with a Z sent you.
Charles Ruttenberg Realty proudly sponsors Joy on Paper with Patsy Gill. Charles Ruttenberg sets the standard of excellence with residential and commercial real estate transactions and can help you on your next transaction, whether that is for a second home, investment, or downsizing. Call us today at 727-538-9200 extension 2 and allow me to help you. I'm John Rakowski, the broker at Charles Ruttenberg Realty.
Go yard is a metaphor used in baseball, meaning to hit a home run. Life struggles can make you feel like you just struck out. It's times like these that we need a little batting practice to pick ourselves back up and get back in the game. Whether you are dealing with marital issues, drug addiction, rebellious teens, anxiety, depression, or just generally having a bad day, call Mama Mac. If life has you down 0-2, before you strike out, learn to go yard. Go yard with Mama Mac on this radio station, Thursdays, 6 o'clock.
Arg, matey. When it's time for lunch, when it's time for dinner, when the show's over, when the day's over, when it's time to chill, where do we go? Over to Naughty Nancy's Food Shack and Crow's Nest Pub. It's literally in our backyard, right in back of the WTAN studios at 700 Eldridge Street, just north of downtown Clearwater. Just look for the broadcast tower. Nancy's food and atmosphere get rave reviews. The laid-back patio is a great place to hang out, dine, and listen to live music at night. And Nancy's one of the friendliest proprietors in town. And now, Nancy is serving Sunday Jazz Brunch from 11 a.m. to 2 p.m. Brunch served with Eggs Benedict, crepes, waffles, lox and bagels, shrimp, oysters, and a build-your-own omelet. That's all at Naughty Nancy's Food Shack and Crow's Nest Pub, 700 Eldridge Street in Clearwater. That's right where Eldridge crosses the Pinellas Trail between Myrtle and Fort Harrison. Call 446-3717. 446-3717. You're listening to the Tan Talk Radio Network.
I don't think it's a truck at all. I think we just found a transformer.
This is Optimus Primer Button, leader of the auto part junkies. And I'm calling on all auto parts junkies to listen to nostalgic radio and cars every Tuesday at 7 p.m. here on Tan Talk. This is Optimus Primer Button. If you don't tune in, it will be the end of the world.
Hi, it's Mike Riso, one of the professional golf instructors at Clearwater Country Club. Our daily golf tips are here to help you improve your game as simply and quickly as possible. Tune in each morning and we'll have a fresh new golf tip that'll help you with your putting, chipping, pitching, and sand shots, and lower your scores, hit distance, and boost your confidence too. Like to play Clearwater Country Club? We're open to the public, and afternoon rates start at only $26.95. We're conveniently located on North Betty Lane off Drew Street. For tee times, call the pro shop at 727-461-4188, or find us on the web at clearwatercountryclub.com.
This is the Tan Talk Radio Network.
Hi, this is Patsy with a Z. Today, my special guest is Congressman David Jolly, U.S. Representative for Florida's 13th Congressional District. Hi, Congressman.
Hi, Patsy. How are you today?
Great. Thank you so much for joining me here on Joy on Paper. You know, this is a program not just for writers who want to write and those who dream of writing, but also for readers. We try to encourage people to read, to get out there and read and to just learn more. So right. I'm real excited that you're here to talk about some of the books that have influenced you. And,
well, I'm excited to be with you. This is a special opportunity. Thank you.
You know, I know you always get on all these shows where they're asking you about details of budgets and whatnot. And so I think it might be a little bit fun for you to be able to tell us a little bit more about yourself and to to learn about what you enjoy reading. Now, I know you're a lawyer, so I know you had to read a lot of legal stuff. But what do you really like to read?
Well, so I will tell you, I particularly enjoy nonfiction, history, biographies. You mentioned being a lawyer, and it is true, you know, frankly, part of an elected official's responsibility is first to honor both the Constitution and the principles that our founders established our nation upon, but then secondly, to be able to communicate it, right, to truly understand its applicability and be able to communicate that. So it does not give me a lot of time to read fiction, but I will tell you I actually take personal interest and joy in reading and better understanding many of the teachings of our founders, but also reading about some of the great leaders in our country throughout generations that have made our country what it is today.
Well, you know, I invited you on the program before it became popular to ask politicians what they read, because ever since a certain person has announced that his favorite book is The Art of the Deal,
right.
Everybody is asking questions now about reading. So sure. I don't know. Have you read The Art of the Deal yet?
I have not, and I don't know that I will. I'll tell you what I enjoy. You know, in addition to say political history, if you will, I actually enjoy Florida history. You know, the book that I have right now, the book on the nightstand, if you will, is The Last Train to Paradise by Les Standiford. It's the story of Henry Flagler. A lot of the development of South Florida, what was required to economically develop the region as he built hotels, there was a transportation issue. So how do you actually, 100 years ago, build a train to go through South Florida and across the water into the Florida Keys? To me, that is an intriguing historical read because it's a true story that takes you through some of the really fascinating periods of our state. I'll focus in on that. I'll let others focus in on the art of the deal and some of the complex negotiations of in Washington, if you will.
Well, you know, President Truman was a great reader of biographies. He loved biographies, and I, as a matter of fact, at one point, his partner in his haberdashery business said, "You know, we're going broke because all you do is sit around reading books about, we can't do any business if all you're going to do is sit in the corner all day reading books." Mostly he loved to read books about Andrew Jackson, which is interesting.
Well, that's right. You know, one of the great Truman books that I appreciate, one of my favorite authors is David McCullough, who did a great biography on Truman. And actually, my favorite book by McCullough is The Great Bridge. I don't know if you or your readers have had an opportunity to look at that, but it's the history of suspension bridges leading up to the building of the Brooklyn Bridge. He's an incredible author. He's done biographies of Truman and others, but he's also written about specific moments in American history that have contributed to the development of our country as we know it today, from the Wright brothers to the Brooklyn Bridge, to the Johnstown floods. He did several about the Revolutionary period, 1776, I believe, is by David McCullough and others. But his biography on Truman is one of his great works.
Well, you know, I was reading recently about Tom Clancy and how he was so grateful that Ronald Reagan read his book. Because it was really Ronald Reagan who, when he complimented the book and told people about it, that Clancy says his whole career changed from being an insurance salesman, which somehow I never thought of him as an insurance salesman. You know, you read his books and you think, if you thought about what he did before he wrote those books, was he it's hard to imagine. You'd never guess that he was an insurance salesman, but he always credits Reagan with his great success, because it was Reagan who came along and said, you know, he just loved the book, and it went on from there. So
well, you know, it's remarkable, and it's also in a, you know, a tribute to your show. Books are one of those things that, you know, can bring us together truly. But they're also one of those special things. You pass down books, you hand them to friends. It provides a foundation to so much of our community and our culture, whether we realize it or not. Every time somebody says, oh, you've got to pick up this book, you've got to look at this book, it does have an influence. And it contributes to our community, our camaraderie, but it also can influence decision makers and thought leaders.
That's true. You know, I have an interview coming up. I taped it because I'm going to be going on vacation, so I've already taped it, with an author, Matthew Palmer. I don't know if you've ever read his books. And he wrote a book called Secrets of State, which is a little apropos to the current situation. Actually, it's a book about the conflict with Pakistan and their nuclear bomb. But the interesting thing about it is that in being a congressman, and you should really read this book, because first of all, he's an active duty. He works in the State Department, and one of the things he calls for in this book is a congressional hearing to discuss using subcontractors or non-binding contractors to handle state secrets. So
interesting.
It just came out recently, and it's a book that you should definitely read, because it exactly what you said, it brings so much to your knowledge when you read different types of books. And you know, it's fiction, but it's not fiction too, as we can see with the current situation. So there are so many wonderful books. And when you were a child, were you a big reader?
I was. I've always enjoyed reading. You know, when I was a child, the fiction probably that I enjoyed most was C.S. Lewis. I remember as a child being, just captured by the Chronicles of Narnia. It just captured my imagination, and that started part of my love of reading. And my parents always impressed upon me the importance of reading. And so at one point, I had collected so many books that I couldn't move them from one apartment to the next, so I had to call the local library and donate all of them because I had collected so many along the ways. I'm a traditionalist. I haven't been able to jump to reading on an iPad or a smart device. I still like to hold the book, to be able to flip the pages, and it is a leisure activity, I think, that, it's something everybody enjoys doing. It provides a stress relief, and along the way, you learn a whole lot. You learn a lot about the subject that you're reading about, but also you learn a lot about yourself as you begin to digest and think about the material that you read.
Well, you know, our founders were such great readers. It's amazing when you look back and you read some of their biographies, the number of books they read.
That's right. That's exactly right. And the principles upon which then they founded the nation. So much of that came from having read throughout history the lessons of republics that had come and gone and governments that had come and gone. You know, I always talk about what is so remarkable about the United States is that when they broke from the monarch, they founded the country on this principle that Jefferson articulated in his letters, the human rights of man. They recognized that humans, we as individuals, are bestowed a freedom from our creator, and that we get to determine how much of that freedom to resign to government. Now understand, that was very different than the monarch. Right? The monarch had told the people of the old world that the creator or the deity vested in government or the crown all of the freedom and power, and then they distribute it among the people. And so we had these founders that, yes, they were rebels, but they were rebels who were learned and well-read and had taken the lessons that they believed in, and including the principles of human freedom, and started an entire country, an entire republic based on this, based on the educated reading that our founders had committed themselves to. It's a very special thing they created, and it's something that elected officials today have to honor, and it's why important we always go back to certainly not just the Constitution, but the interpretive literature and the papers around the Constitution, and understand exactly what our country was founded on and what we need to continue to adhere to.
Well, and I love when you use the word learned, because they were learned. They weren't reading those books in English. They were reading the actual
That's
Greek
right.
and Latin right. and even Hebrew. And it's so amazing when you think about it. You wonder sometimes where our minds went. How could these people read in so many languages and what we
right.
You know, I'm sure now you went to law school. They used to make people going to law school study Latin, but I don't suppose they did that.
That's right. I don't know that they do that anymore. That's more classical education, I think, in some schools. But
well, I don't think there's any school anymore. I know that, you know, in those days of our founders, they couldn't go to Harvard without knowing Latin and Greek. So it sort of puts a new look on Common Core. We can't get.
That's right.
When you think about it, no, it's very funny, because when I lived in England for a number of years, and I lived in a little village, and in the little village, just outside of the little village, was one of these British, what they call a public school, which is, of course, a private school. And all the little boys used to come to the candy shop, which was just opposite my little cottage. And there's only one store in the whole town, the candy shop. And these little boys would come in their little school uniforms, and just to impress the villagers, they would always speak Latin to each other.
Oh, and wow.
So it was so cute. And because, of course, I was American, they thought I was really interesting. And so, I made friends with them, and they'd come to the candy shop, and I just loved listening to them speaking in Latin. And so I didn't know, you know, that little boys couldn't speak Latin. I thought, well, they could do it. When I came back to the States and I had my children, early on, I decided I had to homeschool my kids. And I got them a Latin teacher.
Oh, fascinating. Wow.
So at the age of 7, my eldest son was you know, doing Latin. Now, unfortunately, I didn't have anyone to chat with because, you know, we didn't have anybody in the neighborhood who could do Latin, but it was just so much fun, and it really served him very well. And it's a basis. He has a vocabulary that is astounding. And,
oh, that's wonderful.
And
you know, that also speaks to something that I often share with young people, but it's true as a society, we need to recognize, you know, education is one thing that nobody can ever take away from you. You know, you can build all the financial success or career success in the world, and it could be gone tomorrow. But education, the betterment of your own mind, your own spirit, the ability to invest in your own human potential, to build a foundation upon which you can create your own success. Education cannot be taken away from you, and it's a remarkable thing. And what is reflected in the story of your son learning Latin at 7 years old is exactly that. It has certainly created success for him in whatever endeavor he has chosen, and he will always have that with him as he goes through his journey of life.
I think sometimes we don't challenge our young people enough, and one of the reasons perhaps they have problems in schools that they're not challenged enough, because if all these little British boys could speak Latin at 7 and 8, I don't see why all our little American kids can't do the same. Because, you know, it's important to it certainly gives an appreciation for history too, you know, when you know
that's
another
right.
language. So I think Common Core needs some work, that's all. All I will say about it, you know, it's sad that there are 93 million unemployed people in the United States.
Mm.
You know, I sometimes you can't get your head around that kind of number. You know,
that's right.
It's so many. I having never been unemployed in my life, and having probably 2 jobs all of my life, I mean, literally since I was 7 and I started my paper route, it's hard for me to understand what people are doing when they're unemployed. But I think one of the things, and that's what one of the things I do with this show, and also when I go to meetings and I meet with people, I encourage them to read, because you never know what book, what story will stimulate you. It might be just the right thing to get your mind working, to realize that you can do something.
That's right. Well, and, you know, one of the, when I mentioned reading history and nonfiction, as I look back, you know, in preparation of being on with you today about some of the chapters in my life, if you will, of when I was really drawn to specific literature, there were times where I was just fascinated by specific periods in history. You know, I spent probably a year digesting everything I could about the Civil War era and Reconstruction, everything from the war itself to the politics of it to society and then to Reconstruction. Similarly, I was drawn to the literature around the presidency of John F. Kennedy. You know, I did not get to experience that as an adult, and so I was fascinated at the way that Kennedy was revered by so many and then what his passing meant to us as a nation. Most recently, the literature surrounding the financial crisis of 2008. There has been great literature written by those who actually went through it as policymakers, experienced some of the crisis moments. And what I have found is, yes, you don't realize as you're reading and being captured by certain periods, you don't realize the education that you're receiving. You know, you're fascinated by it. You're enjoying the leisure of it. You're intrigued by it. But also, you are learning lessons that come out of those periods, come out of how people dealt with each other, come out of decision-making, leadership styles. The more you read, the more you invest in reading, I think the more you learn, whether you realize it or not. It provides a lens through which you can look at different events in life going forward.
I'm fascinated that you talked about the financial crisis, which, of course, hit so many of us very hard here in Florida. It still sends shivers down my spine to think of those years. But I had a wonderful guest on several months ago, Doug Brunt, who wrote Ghosts of Manhattan. Now, it is one of the best nonfiction books, I mean fiction books, written about the financial crisis. I don't know if you've read it. His name is Doug Brunt. He's Megyn Kelly's husband.
Okay, sure.
And it's called Ghosts of Manhattan. And he actually puts down, he makes it very understandable to people, you know, to the average person, what happened during the crisis. And so I really enjoyed interviewing him about it. And that's one of the fascinating things. You can take an event, and it's so exciting for a writer to take an event and actually build a story around it that helps to explain to people what went on. Have you ever written anything?
It's funny. So I've penned most of my own, what you might read in the newspaper or other articles. Right now, I'm, believe it or not, working on a journal article about redistricting and what the law is, maybe what some people think the law should be, what the courts interpreted. And I ask the question this, I say, and it's somewhat tongue-in-cheek, but there's validity to it. I say, is the Supreme Court responsible for today's gridlock in Congress? And what I mean by that is, for decades now, the courts have affirmed political gerrymandering that allow one party to create a supermajority district in their favor. Well, as a result, about 90% of Congress now represents seats that are either supermajority Republican or supermajority Democrat, meaning that those members wake up every day thinking about their party first and their community second. Pinellas County, the seat I have an opportunity to represent, you know, President Obama won it twice, but I was elected as a Republican member. It's one of the fairest districts in the country. And it forces myself to wake up and think first about our community and then second about party. I think if we were to do that across the country, we would break through a lot of the gridlock and the discord in Congress. Aside from that, the longest book I ever wrote was actually in high school. I wrote my own history, if you will, of the United States. It started out as a project and turned into an endeavor that probably took me about a year, but it served me very well in applying to colleges, being able to demonstrate that as a young person I had taken on that task.
Well, when you get ready to write your biography, I suggest you read a little bit of Will Rogers first. And seriously, and make it funny, because some of these biographies are just too dreadful. And you can tell.
That's exactly right.
You know, it's just, especially in politics nowadays, I think we need a sense of humor. And so.
Sure, we do. Well, let me share a cute story for your listeners. You know, some may have visited the Capitol. For those who have not, there are many statues in the Capitol. Every state gets to put two statues in the United States Capitol of their choosing. One of Oklahoma's is actually Will Rogers. And the placement of Will Rogers is what creates the humor. Will Rogers is the only statue in the Capitol that faces the House floor. And the reason why is that Will Rogers once said, never turn your back on a politician. So they have placed him, keeping an eye on the front doors to the House chamber.
Well, exactly. That's a great place for him. And so do go back and reread his works when you're ready to write your biography, which, of course, you're going to have a while to do that, because now you're running for Senate, right?
Well, that's exactly sort of. Right. I'm asking for the opportunity to continue serving, but doing so in the United States Senate.
Yeah.
I've taken my job very, very seriously, and I wake up excited every day to serve our community. As a result of redistricting decisions by the court, as well as some other interests of our state, I think the decision is right for me to seek the United States Senate seat.
Well, I think it's a great idea. And the most important thing, I think every politician should just say what they mean what they say, and remember it when they get there, because this
well, that's it.
This is...
If you always tell the truth, you never forgot what you said, right?
Exactly.
I call it like I see it, and the bottom line for me, and this is a very personal, you know, statement I'll share with you, it's the sleep well at night test, right? If all this went away tomorrow, I want to know that for the rest of my life, I can look back and say, you know what, I stand by every vote I took, I stand by everything I did when I was in service. I believe I did the right thing for our community and for our country. Obviously, folks are going to disagree on specific issues. I understand that. It's part of the greatness of America. But as long as we remain committed to communicating with each other about that, as long as I share with you authentically how I arrived at my decisions, civility can rule the day, and we can continue to work together for decades to come. It's part of the greatness of our country, and it's something I'm committed to continuing.
Well, that's wonderful to hear, and I hope that you also are committed to, you know, one of the things I don't know if you realize how many wonderful writers you have here in the area, just in our Clearwater, St. Petersburg area. We have so many wonderful writers, and I suggest that once in a while you get together with some of them, and it's writers have a great perspective on events and on how things appear. And you know, there have been some politicians over the years who have embraced writers as an opportunity for them to learn more about what people are thinking, because that's writers are constantly, especially today, writers have their feelers out. We talk to everybody. We go out
that's
there.
Right.
We have these meetings, and we get to go to a lot of events. All of us belong to different clubs, and I will tell you, the writers in this area are like incredible bloggers and active on Twitter and active on Facebook. And so you might be one of now, of course, the Kennedy is an example. He did surround himself with a lot of writers, and it helped him. It helped him, I think, his perspective on life. And so perhaps once in a while you can have an event for the writers in the area and get to know us. We have in Florida a lot of great writers who would love to have the opportunity to meet with you. So,
well, I'd enjoy doing that. It is a great intellectual and cultural resource we have right here in our own community. I'd enjoy doing that.
Absolutely. And, of course, I know anytime you have a chance, encourage people to read, and if you hear about schools who are looking for people to come and talk to them about the children to read more, I hope you take
right.
part in those too, because as you're out there on the stump and you're going to be talking to so many people, tell them to read. Tell them to get out
that's
there
right.
and read.
We do it. You know, we spent last year on Dr. Seuss Day reading to kids, and I'll tell you, it's funny, I had not opened a Dr. Seuss book in decades. That stumped me more than the most complex literature I'd ever read.
Well, that was such a very, very thrilling find. Oh, before you go, I want to recommend one more really great book for you, because I think it's a book that it's just a little book, and it's written by Luke Reynolds. It's called The Looney Experiment, and it's a book that was based on a little bit on my mind went. I don't believe this. Scout on To Kill a Mockingbird. Sorry.
Okay.
And the character is based on Atticus Finch in To Kill a Mockingbird. And it's a very, very beautiful little book. And if you have a chance,
very good.
Read it. It's by Luke Reynolds. So
very good.
Great talking to you. It's been a pleasure. Thank you so much for coming on. And good luck with all your campaigning. And I know today's a very important day. You also have a town hall, don't you?
Well, we do. We have a town hall this evening in St. Petersburg. So
wow.
I look forward to it. We try to make sure we have town halls at least once a month.
Well,
you know, my job is to give voice to our community, and the way we do that is make sure that I'm engaged every day.
Well, that's
the folks that have given me the opportunity to represent Pinellas County.
Well, that's wonderful. I think town halls are really a great way to get to meet people and for people to get to know you. And I think people have learned a lot about you today that they didn't know before. And that's what's fun about doing a program like this, that I get to learn new and interesting things. And I certainly found you very interesting. And so good luck in everything. And thanks again
for
being on.
I appreciate being with you. Have a good day.
Okay. Bye now. Okay. Hi. Well, that was really nice to talk to the congressman. As I said, he's got a town hall later this evening here in St. Petersburg, and I think he also he does that new thing where they call up on the telephone, and you can listen to it on the telephone if you can't make it down there. He's a fascinating man, and as you can see, he has a great interest in reading, and I hope that all of you will think about starting to write. If you haven't been writing, this is the time to get down, and you can either look up at meetups for local events where there are writers clubs. We have a lot of writers clubs in this area, and in your area, wherever you are, there are. All you have to do is go to meetup and type in book club or writers club, and get out there and learn how to start if you haven't started, or learn or get motivated to continue writing your book. And as I said, we have a countdown to Valentine's Day. Ed, are you there? Are you going to start writing a poem?
I am.
Are you going to write a poem?
I'm going to try. It's hard for me to sit in one spot for very long.
Well, you don't have to sit. Ernest Hemingway wrote standing up, so that's no excuse.
Is that as bad as texting and walking, though?
Yeah, well, no. Actually, they say it's better for you if you stand up and write. So you should or stand at the refrigerator and write a poem every morning. Huh? Is that nice? It's a sweet idea, huh?
Yeah. What you at the beginning of the program, you said something about some festivals coming up or something like that.
Yes, the Tampa Bay Book Fest is coming up in October 24th. And I will put some information up on my Facebook page, but it's a wonderful opportunity to meet over 40 writers, and they're signing up more all the time. So if you're a writer, sign up for a table. It's not very expensive, and you will meet so many wonderful readers. So do go to the Tampa Bay Times and sign up for that.
What happens when you sign up for a table?
You know, for a writer, you can bring your books and you can bring all of your promotional material. You get all the readers who attend, and there are thousands and thousands of readers who attend this event. They come up to your table and they talk to you, and you get to do autographs. And of course, everybody nowadays likes to do selfies. So it's fun for the readers. It expands one thing that happens when a fan does a selfie with a writer, then that fan sends it out to everybody. And so overnight, you can find yourself as a writer having all sorts of people buying your book that you never knew about all over the country because of one selfie taken by a fan, because they send it all over the place. And it's wonderful. I talked to one writer. She did a selfie with a writer, with one of her fans. And then within 12 hours, she had people buying her book all the way up to Oregon and Maine and, other states that she would never have reached except because of this lovely fan who just did it. You know, whatever you do with selfies, send them out to everybody. And so it's a wonderful way for writers to really get known and well known. So really think about attending this event, and I'll put it up on my Facebook page. And meanwhile, make sure that you look for the joy in life and share it with everybody, and have a wonderful, wonderful week. And this is Patsy with a Z saying thanks, Big Ed, for being in the control room, because I love you. And everybody have a great and wonderful and safe week. Bye.